Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. Hey, on the show, he's CSU's vice president for advancement and who some would call the second most important person at CSU behind only President Tony Frank. Brett, thanks for joining us, buddy.
You bet. Pleased to be here.
So you graduated in 1987 and then went on to a hugely successful career with Anderson Consulting, Accenture for more than 20 years. Made a lot of money, made a great living, but you could have gone on and just retired. Frank brought you on to be vice president of advancement, your current position. When you've got all that going for you and you've got retirement, why get back into a job like this?
I love CSU. As you said, I grew up and born and raised in Fort Collins, went to CSU. I owe so much to CSU. It's a tremendous institution and was basically retired. And my plan was actually be retired for good. And I, I've lived in the Denver area for the past 27 years and just had some thoughts around ways we could continue to make CSU more visible and improve the visibility of this great institution. And when they offered me the position, I jumped on it because there's nothing I'm more passionate about than
the sidelines or behind the basketball bench, cheering wildly and getting after it a little bit. You've got that connection. You personally have donated a lot of money to CSU. And several years ago, during a fundraising campaign, gave $1.5 million to the athletic department. They named the academic center after you. You might be different than some cases in fundraising, but because you're a good part with that kind of donation.
Well, I think the whole key to it is connecting with the person's passion. As you probably picked up in my introductory comments, CSU is a huge passion of mine. I love the place and I bleed green and gold. I know a lot of people say that and I really mean it, and I would do most anything for this place. And that's the way we research centers in the entire world. We've got one of the greatest occupational therapy departments. We've got a great construction management program, a great college of business, a phenomenal college of engineering, college of agriculture. So what we try to do is find what is it that excites an individual? What is it that they really love? And then we show them what we're doing at CSU and how we feel like you're parting with money. You actually feel like you're investing in the future of the planet and the future of a certain area. So that's the way I look at it here is I don't feel like I gave away money. I feel like I made an investment that is paying great dividends here at CSU.
Brett Anderson, CSU's Vice President for Advancement, is our guest today. In less than 5 years, you've kind of put together this fundraising machine at a university that really hasn't always been high in alumni giving percentages. What changed in that time? How did you guys break that barrier and start getting some success?
I think a couple things. First of all, I think we have a tremendous leader at this institution, Dr. Tony Frank. I'll put him up. That's why I did it at Accenture. I worked with Fortune 500 CEOs daily, and Dr. Frank is one of the best I've ever dealt with. So I think him, his vision, his leadership has really engendered a lot of goodwill with people. And the institution has gotten so much better across the board. Our students are the best they've ever been in the history of the university, the most entire world in terms of research. So I think all we have really done since I've been here is get people to get out there, engage with our friends and our alumni, and tell the great story of what's going on at CSU. And CSU sells itself. We really just need to get out there and tell the story. And when people come back and look at what's going on, they want to be absolutely winning on all dimensions. And this is a winning team that people are excited about and want to join in on.
Brett Anderson is our guest. Obviously, one of the hot topics over the last couple of years is this on-campus stadium effort. I know you're passionate about it as well. How do you compare? When you're talking about an on-campus stadium effort and all the fundraising that goes in and all the little details, and how do capital campaigns at CSU typically work?
Probably the biggest fundamental difference on the stadium is the way that it kind of got out of the chutes. And it was probably not as orchestrated as well as it could have been. And typically what you do in a large fundraising endeavor is you put your plans together and you do what's called a planning, and you can deliver the project before you ever announce it publicly. That's the way we did the last campaign. And that's the way we'll do all major campaigns at the university go forward in terms of a comprehensive academic fundraising campaign. The stadium kind of unfortunately was just a little bit different. It kind of got announced at the very beginning before we really had started that. So that has been a bit of a challenge because it's really led to a challenge so that when we go out and try to talk to a prospective donor, they may have heard 50 different things of which 20 are completely inaccurate. So we spend a lot of time really just trying to educate people on here's what the facts really are and allow them to make a decision of whether that's something they want to support or not. So I'd say that's the major difference deal with just because of all the misinformation that gets put out there.
reading between the lines, that maybe you may have disagreed with how Jack Graham ran with things. He certainly was kind of that renegade guy that was passionate and wanted his vision to be realized and just kind of ran with things. He really wanted to see this thing done through the athletic department. He wanted to kind of spearhead all the fundraising and make this thing that fall on the university's shoulders and in your hands. I'm sure you've been heavily involved in fundraising for this as well, but will we see that more fall on your shoulders and the university's shoulders to raise the money for a stadium if it moves forward?
Absolutely. And one thing I would like to go back to is to really give a big thank you to Jack. I mean, Jack's passion and the vision. So you want that person that's committed to that aspect, that vision. We work definitely together. I mean, all the fundraising in the university ultimately rolls up to me, including athletics fundraising. So Jack was part of that. And it only made sense to have Jack do that because he had such a passion for it. He could paint the vision better than most. We will step up and take that on along with the rest of the folks in the university. We've got a large team of folks that are out there working with donors, and we'll all work arm in arm to get this thing done if that's what the president and the board of governors elects to do.
Brett Anderson, CSU's Vice President for Advancement, joins us today. With the on-campus stadium now kind of nearing the end of the decision process here, the advisory committee has recommended that CSU should, in fact, build an on-campus stadium as opposed to just renovating Hughes, those two options to renovate Hughes. The committee's recommendations were to build kind of that scaled-down version, that number three option of the original plan, build a scaled-down version that's expandable, you know, over the coming years. The fourth option would be that public private. There's been all sorts of rumors that there is somebody out there that's willing to partner with CSU, have ownership of the facility, the land, and they share in the revenues along with CSU. Can you explain how that works?
Well, so, and I think, first, I'd like to thank those committees, both the external and the internal, did a tremendous job of weeding through a lot of data and for getting involved in it. So I thank all of them. And I think the reason they recommended, you know, what they did versus the public-private partnership is because that is a great unknown. And we did talk a few times to the committees. To answer your question is, it depends. We've had five different groups or companies or entities approach us to talk about a public-private partnership. That's why, you know, when we're looking at it, and Dr. Frank and all of us at the university are kind of running the models of looking at what each scenario looks like. Each one of these partners offered up a different scenario of how they do it. You know, there are some that are the traditional. They would say, you ground lease the land to me, I'll build the thing, and then I'll lease it back to you. Construction company, they're like, they will let you use whoever your construction company you want, or, you know, the one we currently have. And they don't want to own the facility. They just want to do more of a financing mechanism. So that public-private partnership is probably a broad category that really does encompass a whole myriad of different options, of which, you know, we've actually had.
University that's tasked with raising hundreds of millions of dollars for the university annually, and you've been very successful in business. You've been on the stadium advisory committee. When you look at those four options, in your opinion, what do you believe Dr. Frank should recommend to the Board of Governors?
Well, I think we've got to look at it and do the most prudent option, looking at all the aspects. So not want to impact the general fund if at all possible, right? That's where tuition and state money, and that needs to be focused on academics and the great academic things we've got going on. So that's a key component. Another key component is what will engage the alumni base. Now, this is from somewhat of a selfish fundraising. I do see a lot of valuational facilities to hear from our faculty. I think it's in many times an opportunity missed when we have a great, you know, venue that's out the west of the campus. It's not about the stadium, is it good or bad? It's more about its location. Me being an alum and having been involved in going to football games ever since I grew up, you know, I would commute for about the great things going on. So I do believe, just as the president has said, I think there's tremendous value in a stadium on campus, but we've got to make sure that we do it in a way that doesn't risk the financial future of the institution. And I think that's where the president and the board are headed, and I think we've got alternatives to look at here that are all very good.
Brett, and probably in the 100 plus times that I've driven up there for football games over the last 15, 20 years, you're right. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times that I've actually gone to campus on game day. And I agree that just makes a big difference. And I was going to ask you, how does that affect your, an on-campus stadium? How could that impact your job to fundraise? And you touched on it. What is the benefit as an academic fundraiser as well?
Well, I think that multi-use, to start with, is this cannot be a venue that's just for football and just used six times a year. This has got to be a facility that's used for multiple sports, football, lacrosse, soccer, used for all sorts of other events, convocation, commencements, and then also all sorts of other events. Because it will be having so much interior space if we were to go with an on-campus stadium, there's all sorts of events and conferences and things you can do. And then ultimately, you know, we've looked at, there is a great opportunity to put some academic facilities in there where the thing then, instead of being used 200, 250 times a year, is actually used every single day of the products. You want to have all the latest fan amenities so that it's the greatest fan experience you can have. You want to have loge boxes are new, and it's a key element. You want to have these field clubs where you can be part of the club where you can actually casually walk out onto the field, you know, before the game, halftime, after the game. The team is the team. So it's got to be really engaging to the fan and really provide a tremendous fan experience, because, as you know, today it's too easy to want to just stay home and watch it on your HD TV. We've got to make it where it's a great experience, where you want to get out of that chair at home and come and watch the game, deal with the pageantry of a college football game on a college campus.
Well, Brett, we'll see you Saturday for the game.
All right. Thank you so much.
Stick with us after the break. We'll have Kyle Bell on the Ed Bozar Chevrolet segment. I'm your host, Joel Cantalamessa of Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.